You're listening to a New York Sports Nation production, enhancing your New York sports experience.
Welcome to the Giants Nation Podcast, Episode 4. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner. Here by myself tonight, no Danny King. He's on vacation. In fact, we were going to take this show off, but Josina Anderson dropped an idiot bomb on us today about Landon Collins. We got a few things to get to before we do the interview with Brandon Jacobs. All right, so pretty much everyone saw it, but if you haven't, let me remind you. Let me pull it up. We were just having ourselves a normal Wednesday until old Josina Anderson, who might be the worst reporter for ESPN, always stirring the pot. She pulled this out here. One second. I'm told that Giants safety Landon Collins cleaned out his locker today at the team facility and said his goodbyes to teammates, coaches, and trainers. It doesn't seem like Collins expects to be a Giant for much longer. Per sources. So she had sources. And then the heart of Landon Collins is indisputable. From watching a lot of Giants games and knowing what I know, this is a player who was a vocal leader, played when hurt, and is the soul of the secondary. It's up to organizations in general, not just NFL teams, to show proper appreciation. So she's not only reporting this, that Landon Collins is done in New York. They're not going to franchise tag him. He's apparently gone. But that she's also accusing the Giants of not appreciating Landon Collins. So all Giants went ablaze, as you would expect, until every single Giants beat reporter, the guys who are actually close to the team, the guys and gals like Patricia Leonard, Art Stapleton, Dan Duggan, Patrick Schwartz. I'll pull up one of their tweets. It said, hold on one second. This one's from Art Stapleton. I'm told Landon Collins' locker at the New York Giants facility has not been cleaned out, and my understanding is that as of this tweet, nothing has changed from what I reported here yesterday. Tag's still in play between now and March 5th. So Josina Anderson just took... Sorry. Before I rant on Josina Anderson. So Landon Collins replied, The stuff in that locker that I have left, I do not need. 100. Okay. As you all know, Landon Collins is set to be an unrestricted free agent unless he is franchise tagged. It was reported on Tuesday that he would be franchise tagged before the deadline hit on March 5th. And I think all Giants fans expected that before that was even reported. But Josina Anderson decided to report that because he's taking stuff out of his locker room and saying goodbye, that his time is clearly done with the Giants. He's never going to play for the Giants again and is accusing the Giants of not appreciating their players. Is she out of her mind? I don't know where this girl gets off. She constantly stirs the pot with the New York Giants. When Eli Manning was benched for Geno Smith, she was the only person in the media that said Geno Smith was the right move. You have to be out of your mind to watch Geno Smith play what he did at the Jets and then think he's the better option and that we might have a future with him at quarterback instead of respecting Eli Manning. You want to talk about organizations respecting players? Let's start with that. She's the one who begged Odell, with Lil Wayne there for some reason, to trash Eli. She was not going to let Odell leave that. And I put a lot of that on Odell, obviously. But she wasn't happy until he trashed Eli. When she goes, then what is the problem? Just begging him to trash Eli. She was the one saying that the Giant, that McAdoo had lost the team, which he did, but she reported pretty early. I'll give her the benefit on the doubt on that one. But she's constantly causing strife with this team. And for her to make a leap like that because the guy's emptying stuff out of locker room and saying goodbye, Hey, Josina, did you know that he's an unrestricted free agent? So I don't know where she gets off making jumps to that conclusion. Of course, he needs to prepare that maybe he will leave. Maybe they won't franchise tag him. Or maybe it'll be turned out into this long, dragged out, knockout kind of battle and negotiations, and the Giants let him walk like, say, a Josh Norman did with Carolina a few years back. So, of course, he's going to take the stuff that's important to him. So it just doesn't make any sense. Any player would do that. It just blows my mind that she made that leap and then called out the Giants organization. She's the absolute worst, and she's just a pot stir. I don't understand, and I blame, I don't know if Landon Collins was the one who brought this to her, and I think Landon Collins' tweet was almost saving her face, but I just do not get why Giants players have a relationship with her when she's constantly attacking the Giants. I don't understand why she doesn't like the Giants. It's got to be something deep rooted in there that makes her just not stand the Giants. I do not understand it. And then the Giants are going to franchise tag Landon Collins. It would make absolutely no sense for them not to. The only way they don't is, one, if they get a contract done, obviously. But two, if they just didn't want Landon Collins and they wanted nothing to do with him. That's the only way they don't franchise tag him. It would make no sense for him not to. Everyone's assuming that. And obviously, Landon Collins wants a long-term contract. So, of course, he's going to make some hints at, oh, maybe I'll leave, maybe I'll do this. Yeah, because he wants a contract. He doesn't want to get franchise tagged. Players don't want to get franchise tagged unless their name is Kirk Cousins. So it's just absolutely aggravating to me that Josina Anderson can put this out, and then because Landon Collins saying, well, I took the stuff I need, Josina, you're right. Josina constantly stirs up trouble and constantly tries to start lies. She blocked me for some reason. And it never ends with her. I wish Giants would stop giving her access and the players would stop talking to her, because really, it's, why are the players talking to her? She knew what she did when they went behind the Giants' back and did that interview with Odell without permission. And just she hates the Giants for some reason, and which you can hate the Giants, I don't care, but I just don't understand why she pretends to be friends with all those players. And yeah, Josina Anderson is a worst. So before we get to the interview, got a couple more house cleaning things. The media has gone crazy because there's nothing to talk about this week. Firstly, we're all of a sudden talking about Odell trade rumors for some reason. I don't know where that came from. Completely out of the blue. It just doesn't make any sense to me that Jay Glazer and Doug Gottlieb could just like have a couple hot takes, and then all of a sudden we're talking Odell trade rumors. He's not getting traded. We said we're not going to trade him. Odell wants to get there. We just gave him a contract. So I just don't understand where these quote unquote trade rumors are coming from when there's just nothing of substance there. Why are we talking about that? So and Odell's not going to be traded unless he were to do something stupid this offseason. And I've been critical of Odell in the past, you know, mainly for that Josina Anderson interview. The sideline stuff, it doesn't bother me. It bothered me after the Josina Anderson interview. But that stuff in its own and the whole Bo thing, that doesn't bother me. You know, that's players with passion. But anyways, it blows my mind that they're just making up trade rumors, especially when a guy like Antonio Brown is acting like a jerk, making a fool out of himself. You have plenty to talk about with that guy. I don't know if they're sick of talking about him or what, but you think they'd be sick of talking about Odell, knowing that he is not going to be traded. We said, Dave Gettleman said clear cut, we did not sign him to trade him. There's been no speculation of that, and because Jay Glazer, you know, got pressured for a hot take and Doug Gottlieb wants to bash the guy, all of a sudden we're doing the Odell trade talk. It's mind-numbing. And then the other one, I don't even want to mention the guy's name because it's so stupid, and it's the fact that it's become a narrative is ridiculous, that Russell Wilson is going to play for the Giants when his contract's up for Seattle. I'm not going to name the guy who brought this up because that's what he wants. He wants, you know, he's trying to keep in the business and needed to do a show today. But that's just nonsense. What, because his wife likes New York, it's better for her career? He's just going to leave Seattle where he went to two Super Bowls, won one. Is locked up long term, and it just, where does that come from? And it's just literally made up out of thin air, but it gives him ratings. All right, let's see, what do we have? Anything else before we get to this interview? The combine is next week. That should be exciting. We'll probably do a show in the middle of that. Kyler Murray is obviously going to be the talk of the combine. What he participates in, hand size, height, weight. I think that's going to be all the big things, obviously, because those are really the biggest question marks. It's not his game that's his question mark. It's his measurables. Haskins, we'll see what he does, although I don't think he has much to gain, and I don't think he could lose too much at the combine unless he just absolutely flopped on every drill. Yeah, but I mean, the combine is always fun because it almost the league year hasn't started, but it kind of turns the clock. We get ready for the draft. Obviously, everyone saw that Lewis Riddick came out and said that he would draft Dwayne Haskins in a second. I'm not against Dwayne Haskins. I right now I do have him as my number one QB. I haven't watched all 14 games yet. I've only watched broken down Michigan and Purdue. We'll do more of that later as the draft comes closer. Oh, also Scott Simonson was signed to another 1-year deal. It's a good depth move. Obviously, Evan Ingram slated to be the starter there. That could give us the flexibility to move on from Red Ellison, give us a little more cap space because Scott Simonson's a great blocker, and as far as a route runner, he was very similar to Ellison. He ended up getting a touchdown at the end of the year against the Colts, so I really like him. He's a Gruden grinder in my other show, Simple Man Radio, so that's definitely a good move on him. Let's see, what else do we got here? Okay, I think that's it. We're not going to talk Nick Foles, obviously. Case Keenum, that was silly. Obviously, that's not happening. All right, so let's do it. Thanks for tuning into the solo show. We're going to kick it to an interview with New York Giants legend, 2-time Super Bowl champion, Brandon Jacobs. We released this interview on Simple Man Radio the Monday at the Super Bowl. So if you already listened to that, it's the same one. That being said, if you haven't, listen to it now. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. We've got a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll finish the show off with the interview. And then until next week, myself and Danny King will be back. We'll see you guys then. Go Big Blue. All right, so a lot of people are starting podcasts today. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Their creation tools allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one play. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. You'll be glad you did.
All right, we now welcome onto the program a very special guest. He's a 2-time Super Bowl champion. He holds the record for touchdowns in New York Giants history. Brandon Jacobs, how you doing, Brandon?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, of course. So we actually got linked up. You're coaching a team now. Simple Man Radio made a small donation. Before we kind of talk about your career, tell us, what you're up to and how the team's going.
Program here in Alpharetta, Georgia, and the North Atlanta Giants. We got some, we got a good bit of kids in the program, and we're just trying to, just learn, and develop, build character, and so on and so forth, man. I love doing what I do with the kids, and just keeping them, grounded, and it's always a great opportunity to work with them. So, I really love it. And I coach high school at St. Francis. I coach the running backs at St. Francis High School, which has been another great thing that I've gotten involved in. And absolutely love it.
Yeah, definitely, man. And, you and I both know that, playing football and being a part of that team is something that could really mold a kid and turn a boy into a man. And then, whether you play college or not, it gives you opportunities down the road to gain friendships. That being said, not many people know. I mean, a few people do that you played at Auburn to start your college career, and you were playing behind Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams, who were both two top five picks. I know you transferred, but at that time, did you just realize like those guys were real deal, like greats, or did you kind of have like battles within yourself to like, man, maybe it's am I going to work out?
No, I'll be honest with you. I always knew I was a great one. I'm just not sounding crazy, but yeah, I knew I was great. I just wanted to play college ball. I know I could make it to the league, then next level and be just as good as anybody. I just needed an opportunity to showcase myself. Well, I wouldn't even say showcase myself because I didn't really have the NFL on my mind like that when I was in college. I just wanted to play. I wanted to play my senior. I want to have my senior season. Want to just play, you know, just play football and have fun, you know. And I ended up, you know, going where I wanted to go.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, obviously you transferred, and I mean that was kind of, you know, if you look at it, it was kind of the story of your career where you come back behind those two guys and, you know, kind of have, you know, more of a successful career than those guys, you know, not taking anything away from them. And then when you came into the league, you were drafted by the Giants, obviously, and playing behind Tiki Barber, who, you know, was an all-time great, and Coughlin really got the best out of. But things propelled, and you became the starter once Tiki retired. So, you know, like you said, got the starting job in 2007. And I think a lot of people didn't expect anything out of Eli at that time. And you guys ended up winning the Super Bowl, but... like, you know, at what point in that season did you guys realize, like, hey, you know, we got a chance because it was, you know, it was up and down season?
Well, the opportunity arrived, you know, came when we made the playoffs, right? So we got in the playoffs and we know we had an opportunity to do something special, especially after we played the Patriots so tight in week 17. We was already in the playoffs then, you know, but we just wanted to go and we were 10-6 that season. So we really wanted to go and just... finish off and, you know, start the new season, you know, playoffs and try to get as far as we possibly can. But playing and winning definitely gave us a lot of confidence at first.
Yeah, definitely. I want to kind of chronicle that season because it was that playoffs, because it was kind of wild. You know, you guys lost to the Cowboys twice and beat in the playoffs. And, I mean, one of my favorite moments from that game was you slamming that ball into the play clock and it sounded like an explosion. Man, was that like one of the most fulfilling moments of that playoffs? Was just letting all those Dallas fans know that, you know, we're here.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was on my mind as a major sign of disrespect. That's all I was thinking. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna disrespect this whole building, and that's what I'm gonna do.
I love that, Brandon. I'm a big fan of. Obviously, guys are more friends in the league, and they're swapping jerseys after games. But I do believe, you know, if you have, you know, during, you know, within that 60 minutes, you hate that other person, I really think it gives you a mental edge. And I think you and those other Giants played like that, you know?
Absolutely.
So, you know, going into that NFC Championship game against Green Bay, everybody knows, you know, Lawrence Times misses those first two field goals to win the game. And so he goes after that third in overtime. Were you guys like, you know, begging Coughlin, like, you know, don't let us go for it and convert on fourth?
No. We definitely encouraged Lawrence to go out. We encouraged him and Figos at the time, who's to go out, and Coach Coughlin saw him running out and ended up calling field goal. But it kind of gave him no chance but to go, you know, kick a field goal.
Right.
You know, we believe, we know times are hard sometimes, and guys just got to lock in and focus. But not one time did we ever not have confidence in that Lawrence would get the job done.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, as you know, I was, you know, young at the time, and it was a magical time. So obviously, you guys go up to the Super Bowl against, you know, the 18-0 Patriots. You know, people are saying it was the greatest team of all time. You know, but you guys, like you said, you guys played them tough in that Week 17 game. And I think that game gave you guys a lot of confidence. Kind of run us through, like, maybe what was, like, one, like, moment, you know, obviously besides that final drive that, like, stuck out in your mind from that game?
Well, I mean, just the beginning of the game when we had the ball, we got the ball first and took 10 minutes off the clock. I knew we would be in it at the end right there just because of that first drive. Now, we took it down and got only three, but we took 10 minutes off the clock. And anytime you can keep Tom Brady and that offense off the field, you're kind of, you know, you're winning, you know. So that was, when I saw that, it just let me know that we had an opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. And then so, like, fast forward into, you know, that famous David Tyree helmet catch. You know, I went back and looked at it, and you on that play, you run out on the flats. You know, you look to see if Eli's looking your way. And you see Eli wrapped up on 3rd and 10. Did you at that point, like, you know, for that second, you're like, oh, it's over, you know, we, you know, this is it, you know, we didn't win the Super Bowl?
No, I just, as long as I saw him fighting, I was waiting for them to blow it dead is what I was really waiting for, and they didn't, and I guess as long as he had momentum going, it wasn't all the way, you know, clamped down where he couldn't move, then I guess they kept it, you know, they big kept it alive, even when he was running backwards. You know, but they kept it going. I didn't never have I think that was third down anyway, maybe. And I can't remember what down it was, but I do know it wasn't fourth down. And we still had opportunities. So I never not thought that we wasn't going to win. I felt like they were, you know, that we were going to be put in a tougher situation to try to win. You know, if that play don't happen, then you never know what happens to the game, but we still would have had opportunity to win the game.
Yeah, man. So, obviously, you know, Plax hits that, that game-winning touchdown. You guys won the Super Bowl. You guys went, 4 years before the next one. I want to talk a little bit about the time in between there. Obviously, that next year, you guys start out like 8-0, 9-0, something like that. And obviously, you know,
We lost 3-3 to Cleveland.
Yeah, I remember that.
They destroyed us.
Yeah, Monday Night Football. I remember that.
They destroyed us in Cleveland.
You know, yeah, and Plax was, you know, he was a little banged up, and then, you know, the infamous shooting happened, you guys made the playoffs, but was it at that moment where you guys were like, oh, this isn't good, and seems, you know, things from the outside seem like they kind of unraveled from then on. What was the locker room like when that happened?
We had an offensive plan that worked. The same plan, old-fashioned football. Make you play cover two, put a safety on top of Plax, and leave 6 or 7 men in the box, right? And so you do that. And you do that to stop the big plays to Plax, right? So what happens then? 27 and 44 is running wild. You do that.
Right.
Right? Plax goes down. The whole thing happened with Plax, and that kind of took everything away from us because we no longer had that. We no longer had that that presence. We no longer had it, but they didn't treat the other wide receivers like they treat 17. So it was kind of kind of difficult because we no longer had that plan. Now we had to put some stuff together, but it just kind of ruined ruined the little thing that we did have. Do to stop us, even though you know what we're planning on doing. You can't let 17 beat you with big plays. You gotta count on your guys making a tackle on 44 and 27. That's what you have to count on, and it worked for us.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I remember you and Ahmad Bradshaw were running like crazy that year, and like you said, you know that over the top. Plax. You know that kind of ruined the mojo. But then, you know, you guys ended up getting back to the Super Bowl a few years later. What was the biggest difference, you know, from that first Super Bowl going into the second one?
Well, I'll tell you what, the team we had the first time, or the second time, after we won the Super Bowl, was a hell of a lot better than the team 3 years later that ended up winning the Super Bowl. So we had everything we need on that team to win. Now, the second time around, we had a new team from the 2007 Super Bowl. We added some guys with some big pieces. Added Antrell Rowe, Deion Grant. You know, we had Chris Kansas. You know, we had some dogs, man. You know, and we put it together. You know, we just made up our mind on what we wanted to play. You know, and that's what it was. Like,
yeah, definitely.
We made up our minds on what we wanted to play the football game, and we did it the way we wanted to do it. We knew we had a lot of talent, but when we put it all together, it was hard to beat us.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I think Tom Coughlin is one of the most underrated coaches of all time. I think he's always been a guy that, you know, his players respect, even though, you know, I think he softened, you know, you could, you know, speak a lot better, but it seemed like he softened up a little bit more towards the end of his career. That being said, when Tom Coughlin was let go by the Giants, you know, there was a lot of support for him. What was the feeling of you guys, you know, like, you know, guys like you and David Deal and Ahmad when that happened? Was it kind of bitterness towards the Giants or what?
Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't bitterness. We understood the business. We were pissed off about it, but we understand the business. And football's been there for years. It's football. It's years that the NFL existed where a lot of people still aren't living from that year. So the game's going to always outlive us. We know that. It's just the fact that, you know, that it was Coach Garfield, that guy won two Super Bowls for the Giants, and we were upset for that, but still understood the business. And
yeah, so, definitely. And kind of speaking the same thing, you know, we're recording this halfway through the season, so, you know, we haven't seen exactly how the season's going to finish out when we release this. But obviously, Eli's under a lot of heat. He hasn't played great, but the offensive line has struggled. What do you think the deal is with Eli? You know, do you think it's just he's getting older, or is the offensive line, or, you know, what do you think the state of the Giants is right now?
Well, I don't really know the issue. Well, I know that team is loaded with talent. I do know that. Right? I don't know what's the problem. And I can't blame Tim because it takes a lot of other people to contribute. Eli had 400 passing yards the other night, one touchdown last Monday night against the Falcons. I don't know what he did today. I haven't really paid attention to it. But I can't really tell you the issue. I just think that football is changing. All these offensive schemes are changing and more like running gun type of stuff. But, you know, there's other quarterbacks in the league that's not a running guy who's doing well right now, you know. So it's not all about being a mobile quarterback. Eli came into the league as a rookie, not mobile. So he's not mobile now. So just playing on what he does, his success doesn't come from being mobile, and never has. So to say that's what he need to be, that's kind of a stretch. But I honestly can't tell you the problem and what's going on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like you said. And then obviously there's been a lot of drama with Odell. Odell is a great talent, and me personally, like some of the sideline stuff and other things that never really bothered me. But I say the one thing that actually ever worried me about him was that interview with Justine Anderson, where he really kind of, you know, called the team out without letting the team know that he was even doing that interview. As a guy in the locker room, what would be your reaction to that? Would it be something that where you're pissed off at him for a couple of days and then you figure it out? Or is that something where a team's not performing, where it's long-lasting bitterness?
It would have been handled a lot different because we had a committee pretty much on our team. So it would have been discussed on how it would have been handled, you know what I mean? So whatever that committee would have came up with, you know, which would have, you know, myself, Strahan, you know, Eli, and a couple other, you got Antonio Pierce, and, you know, Monty Toomer, guys like that. So we would have came up with something. Not sure what it could have been. But, you know, I like Odell. Odell's a great football player. He's one of the best guys that's in the league today. I respect his ability. I respect everything, you know, that he does. And a lot of these kids out here today, including my own kids, just Odell Beckham is not another guy even exists in the league. You know what I mean? And they all are watching him every time, and I just hope he knows that. You know, the guy hasn't done anything to get in a big trouble. You know, he's had some issues as far as, you know, handling certain situations with the team, but as long as he's not out there getting in trouble and doing all the crazy dumb stuff, I think I can deal with him.
Right.
You know, the other stuff is minor, and I guess, you know, you just got to get a hold of it and just figure it out. You know, he's still growing. He's still growing as well. So, I mean, you know, I see him now taking the extra mile to go shake people's hands and talk to them, talk to kids, take pictures and stuff like that. I think he'll be okay once we can get this season behind us and try to finish it on a positive note. You know, I think next year can be a lot better for this football team.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to finish it off with one last question. Basically, is there any guys that you're still really close with from the team, like maybe Ahmad Bradshaw or the other guys, where you guys are spending, you know, vacations together or anything?
Ahmad is my little brother. You know, we all got different things going on. We all have different schedules, so it's always kind of hard to link up unless it's something the Giants are playing in there. You know, we kind of pause our schedules for a little bit for that, you know, for a lot of stuff like that. But I still talk to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I just saw Plaxico last weekend, and, you know, man, like that's my big brother right there. So, you know, we good. I talk to Tiki all the time. I talk to a lot of people, man. It's awesome to have been a part of such great team, such great organization as like the New York Giants. having great teammates like I had, man, it was awesome. So, yeah, we definitely keep in touch, and I keep in touch with most of them.
Definitely. Well, Brandon, we thanks for you coming on. You know, you're a great guest. We're glad to have you on. You're an all-time great, all-time, you know, two Super Bowl champions. You'll go down in Giants history, man. So we appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. All right, thank you, man. Appreciate you.
All right, man. Have a good one. All right, thanks for listening to the latest episode of Giants Nation Podcast. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. And go check out Simple Man Radio if you can. Follow our socials. Mine is at Bobby Skinner, NFL. Danny's is at Danny King, WEG. We're at Giants Nation Pod. And follow at Simple Man Radio for poops and giggles. We'll see you guys next week.